WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Our book critic Maureen Corrigan is still reading, and she recommends a new book that seems to fit with the tone of this awful time. It's called Almost, and it's by Elizabeth Benedict, who also wrote Slow Dancing, which is a finalist for the National Book Award.
You could see the Pentagon burning from my classroom windows the morning of September 11th. Since then, given the sights that we've all been witness to on our TV screens, it's been hard to concentrate, to read, to teach. 2 days later, when my classes at Georgetown resumed, I stopped into the office of one of my colleagues, who's also a native New Yorker, to share the shock. I said to her, "All this makes what we do pretty irrelevant, doesn't it?" My colleague is wiser than I, so she replied, "No more irrelevant than it ever is. We're always teaching and learning within the shadow of our own mortality." Her remark reminded me of something my father once told me about how on the destroyer escort he served on during World War II, there was a makeshift library spottily stocked with the classics and adventure stories. Distraction, sure, but basic nourishment for the mind and spirit as well. So it's with the recognition that books will have to be necessary cargo on our national voyage into the implausible that I offer you a book review. Fortunately, it's a review of a very fine novel. Elizabeth Benedict's novel is called Almost, and like many another emotionally profound and richly textured story, it sounds schematic when you try to summarize it. That's because the great life of this book arises out of Benedict's judicious and sometimes startling mastery of language. The casual dialogue here and the descriptions of the ordinary remind me of Raymond Carver's short stories and poems. Nothing phony, nothing literary, nothing done, at least so you'd notice, for effect. Take that nothing of a title, Almost. The little word echoes and grows more ominous sounding as you read and realize that it's the perfect way for Sophie Chase, the main character here, to diagnose herself and her life. The story opens on Sophie and her boyfriend Daniel having passionate sex in her New York apartment. At an orgasmic moment, the phone rings. It's a policeman from the Martha's Vineyard-type island of Swansea, where Sophie, until recently, used to live. He's breaking the news to her that her husband, Will, has been found dead in their house. Sophie walked out on Will some months earlier, and she's in the midst of divorcing him. So she's almost a wife, almost a widow, or a widow manque, as she calls herself. She's also almost a stepmother to Daniel's four adopted children, whom she loves, almost a mother to Will's adult children, and almost a writer. She's had one serious novel published years ago, but since then she's been ghostwriting celebrity autobiographies. The theme of people impersonating their lives or being too drunk to face them, a lot of the characters here are, like Sophie, in AA. All of that sense of loss intensifies when Sophie returns to Swansea. There we learn more about Will, who was a CIA operative in the 1960s and a man undercover throughout his whole life. As the mournful days on the island pass, Sophie comes to realize that Daniel is also not a man who emotionally shows up. When they first met at an AA meeting, she asked him, "Where do you stand on God?" "Off to the side," he answered, "quite a way." It turns out he stands off to the side when it comes to getting deeply involved with lesser creatures, too. For a story that mostly takes place on a remote island over a few days, a lot happens. Sophie drinks herself into a roaring tantrum at a high society clam bake. An old lawyer friend who puts her up becomes embroiled in a sex scandal. One of Daniel's kids runs away in New York. And Will's awful first wife and his two daughters show up and haggle with Sophie over who owns the corpse. There are also some laughs here of the gallows humor variety, mostly supplied by Henderson, Sophie's gay friend who arrives to give her support. All right, despite what I said earlier about Benedict's Raymond Carver-like adherence to the real, Henderson is a contrivance. It seems like every other gay man in fiction or on TV these days has to justify his existence by trying to be as funny as Oscar Wilde. But then again, I was so amused by Henderson's jocularity that I'm tempted to give his presence a pass. Almost is structured as an autobiographical novel. It's the novel Sophie writes about her life after she returns to New York and resolves to live more fully, more aware. Its prevailing tone, apart from Henderson's interjections, is melancholy, sober. Maybe that's why, despite the fact that it's a small story, a self-absorbed story, it's a story that also seems in measured accord with these solemn times.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Almost by Elizabeth Benedict.